Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters, and good morning to our young people. And young people, you are very much a part of this meeting. And we want to welcome all of our visitors also. To repeat what so many have said over the last few days, we have had a wonderful, wonderful meeting this week. The Daniel class was instrumental in creating participation in brothers of all ages and experience. And it is exciting to see the young people speaking and commenting and taking a part in these study classes. We expect that most will leave these grounds with an energetic desire to please their Heavenly Father. We will go home with this desire. We want to please Him because that desire comes from the depths, the very depths of our hearts. And secondly, that we realize that time, as we know it, will soon cease. We know the end is getting very close. As our title indicates, there is a time appointed, a time for the arrival of our Savior, and a time for us to stand before the judge to see if we are to be counted and to be numbered with those that will be likened to the angels, numbered with those that will be of that glorious bridegroom, the bridegroom of Christ. And what a great opportunity that we have if we will just accept the challenge with all of our mind and our energy and our body and our hearts. I have often wondered how to respond to friends and family and those that inquire when they ask, "What do you do down there at Fredericksburg for a whole week?" Well, I have decided to say that we have been feasting upon the Word of God. It is a fitting analogy and quite similar to a number of other verses, as Psalms 34, verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalms 119, verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Then in Hebrews 6, "For it is impossible for those that were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God." Feasting, tasting, dining upon God's word. One of the last times that I had a meal with Brother Nick Mamone, it was near the end of his life. We often took him out to eat away from the nursing home, and he loved to eat out. He was still eating. I had finished, and I probably had that hurry-up look on my face. And Nick asked me, he said, "Gary, do you know what the difference between you and me is?" Well, I thought a moment, and finally I said, "Well, Nick, I'm not for sure. No, I don't really know." And he said, "You eat, and I dine." Well, I knew that he was right because Brennan and I were burning the candle at both ends and we didn't have time to just sit and to dine. And we, like most of you, had at times, we had a stressful job. Things didn't always go as we had planned. And life sometimes is pretty tough, as each and every one of you know. Payments to make, tending to our extended families, sometimes health issues, problems that were just typical that we have. So it is in the truth. So it is in every ecclesia. It is not always going to be a smooth ride to do the Lord's work. In 2 Timothy, we see the Apostle Paul writing a letter to Timothy, his young friend and his co-worker in the truth. And he is writing to strengthen and to encourage him in his work in the service to God. Paul suspects that Timothy was getting discouraged. Things were not going well in the brotherhood. And Brother Rain wrote, "They never have, and they never will." He says, "These days are of small things, of trials, and probation, and darkness, and faith." We have to face the fact that things are not always going to go well, temporally nor spiritually. When we read of Paul's life, we're amazed at the hardships that he went through, but yet he prevailed. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, we read that Paul tells of some of the things that he had endured in this struggle to work for his Lord. He said, I'm going to read a few of these. He said, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He was whipped 39 lashes, 5 times. 3 times, it says, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." Looked that up, and it said that possibly what that meant was that he floated on a shipwreck on the boards and the planks after the ship had wrecked, and he was floating out in the sea. "In journeys often, perils," means in dangers, "in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in the cold, in nakedness." And he said, besides these things are without, that which cometh upon me daily, besides all that, the care of the churches. The care of the churches. The Apostle Paul and Timothy lived in a much harsher world than what we live today. In the U.S. and Western Europe, Great Britain, Canada, we have the freedoms like there's never been before. But much of the rest of the world now are similar to Paul's times. The people in that Roman world had choices to make, just like we do, and they could serve God or they could serve themselves. And to the dismay of both these brethren, Paul and Timothy, those that were in the truth, these new converts were falling away. And Paul was about to be executed. He's fixing to be killed. And his life's work was in jeopardy. All those things that he went through is now in jeopardy. He's fixing to die. Only a few were willing to give their lives as well as their families' lives to spreading the truth. Families' lives. Back in those days, if you were spreading the gospel, your whole family could be in jeopardy. There were also people spreading false doctrine within the ecclesias, as we've studied so much of. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." And he's going to speak of Demas, his very good friend and helper in the truth, and has been so faithful. Good friend. Chapter 4, verse 10, he says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." My goodness. Verse 16, "At my first answer," or at his, this is his trial, at his defense, he said, "No one stood with me. No one stood with me, but all forsook me." All forsook me. Paul's thoughts from prison was also on the Philippians, who were also possibly thinking only about themselves and their place and their positions in life or their safety. Paul writes verse 19, chapter 2, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state," concerned about the churches, "for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." He knows that Timothy will. "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." They all seek their own. Well, here's the Apostle Paul about to be put to death. Not down on his knees praying for his life, but thinking about those people that he had saved from idols. People that were lost, but learned the truth. And now they're turning away. Well, they, like us at times, wanted to have the best of both worlds. And brothers and sisters, it just doesn't work that way. Getting involved in the things that are pleasing and comforting to the flesh is a red flag for each and every one of us. Living in the comforts of our world and in these times, it's dangerous spiritually. It's too easy. Life is too easy right now. My grandparents on both sides and yours, and then for 6,000 years back, they had to get up early in the morning before sunup. They built a fire, put water in a pot, and they boiled water and washed their clothes. Sometimes it was cold. They had large families. Sometimes it was very hot. They worked hard. Today, Brenda can put clothes in the washer and clothes in the dryer and dishes in the dishwasher and beans cooking on the stove and can go do some other things all at the same time. It's amazing. So with time, we can become self-reliant and depend upon ourselves rather than upon God. And it is then that we begin, when we have too much time, we can begin to question. We begin to question. And sometimes, I guess it's been for years and years, one of the things that young people have to watch, begin to question. Question God. Things are too easy right now. But aren't we thankful that we have plenty to eat? We live in this country and our problems are some of us. We have too much to eat. Too much to eat. We battle this thing about to try not to eat so much of this good food. Nice places to sleep and cars, and we're wonderfully blessed. But we have to watch. Early believers' lives were in jeopardy. And when your life is in jeopardy, or your loved ones, you turn to God. Or you turn back into the world. You do both directions. You can do either one. We can either get stronger or we can cave in and give away. Sometimes when we get sick, have an accident, lose our jobs, or whatever it might be, we may act just like Israel did. Once that happens, we get on our knees and then we pray for God's mercy and for His help. So we want to always be strong in the Lord and ready to give thanks on account of all the things that we have. And we have to be careful about our actions and our thoughts. And especially the actions that we direct towards our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be careful the way we act around them. Maybe we need to take our temperature, the temperature of our love, and see kind of where it is, whether we're warm or we're cold. Romans 14, 11 through 12, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." For many years while living in Blackwell, we had a rich neighbor. He was a rancher, and he was a real cowboy. On several occasions, he would tell me about my grandparent, my granddad, and how that my granddad had the finest horses in the country. And he told me about purchasing rams and bucks from my granddad to put with his herd, to build his herd. This neighbor was the largest landowner in South Dakota. His ranches spread all over South Dakota. When he had a birthday, some years ago, while he was in South Dakota, the lieutenant governor came. He was the richest man in Nolan County, and that's the county that we lived in. Well, a few years ago, he died suddenly in his pickup while driving across one of his fields by the school. Well, all of his oil wells and his land and his cows and his horses and his money went to others, his children. And I doubt that he was placed in his grave with a penny in his pocket. And I wished I had offered and he would have accepted what that I had that was so valuable, worth far more than the total of all of his wealth. I have it. And each one of you brothers and sisters have it, that pearl of great price. And there's a time appointed in which we are, that's to come, and if we are found worthy, we will receive eternal life and we'll be co-rulers with Jesus, our Savior. And we can imagine how wonderful that will be. But it puzzles me. It puzzles me that we know what the end results are for my neighbor. He's going to die, or he did die, and he's dead and gone. And so much of the rest of the world. Yet I and you, we just love to dabble in his world. We love to dabble in his world. We just want a little taste of it now and then, and we love to peek in and watch, participate a little. We'd love to have a few oil wells. Kind of be nice to have a little respect or power, prestige. It's not for us. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. The problem, of course, is the devil. It's the devil. That's the problem. Human nature, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And you don't have to be young, brothers and sisters, to be tempted by the luster of the world. Old and young alike have the same temptations. And sometimes they're so subtle, it's just unbelievable how we get involved. Paul said in Galatians, pardon me, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Pardon me. "For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And Paul says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Paul is telling us that this is human nature. That's just the way it is, brothers and sisters and young people, just the way we're made. However, there is help. There's divine help. For those that are sincere and truly want to serve God, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why we must continue to read and study and learn God's Word, that Spirit Word of God, so it will dwell up in us. Through the study of the Word, we acquire that true wisdom, that knowledge, that which makes us have a conscience to help guide us in the right direction. And we can develop that mind process that will tell us, no, don't do that. Or, yes, you better do that. It helps guide us. In Proverbs, the second chapter, we find Solomon talking about wisdom and about understanding. I'd like to lead a little of this. He says, "My son, If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is the shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Very good path. That is, you will know what to do. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. We have that help. We have that help. If you accept my words, if you call out for insight, if you look for it as for silver or for a treasure, we have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. James adds to this, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. We hope that from this gathering, someone has done something or said something that will encourage you to press forward and to have that desire to grow spiritually. Each one of us are at a different stage in your spiritual development. Let us continue to grow. The angel Gabriel, when encouraging Daniel, said, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. Let us go on to perfection and be ready for that time appointed when we will meet our Savior. He said, I am come that they may have life, might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.